but it's a joke, really.
You're speaking with my mom again? No, that's unacceptable.
You can't be serious, man. You cannot be serious!
Hello and welcome to This Cannot Be Serious, a dive into the weird and wonderful world of tennis. We've had a hiatus, been away for a couple of weeks, but we're back. It's absolutely roasting here in the UK. Joe, have you managed to get out and play any tennis?
Stupidly, I have done. And let me tell you, one of the worst decisions of my life.
Yeah. When did you play? What was the heat like?
I actually played every day for the past 3 days.
Wow. It's like a Masters 1000 event.
It is. It's like, I don't know if there are any ATP events in Marrakesh, but it feels like I'm competing in the Marrakesh Open.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Not been pleasant.
Imagine a prestigious event. It's, it does make me think, I was playing last Friday, it does make you think how hard it must be for professional athletes, tennis players to play. Imagine playing like 5 hours. In 40, I mean, it was like 30 degrees here, tops.
Yeah.
Imagine 40 degree. Imagine playing in Australia during that swing.
Yeah, that is brutal. But I mean, I wouldn't want to do it. But I would say the flip side of the argument is the amount of sit downs they have with the someone holding an umbrella, the ice towels, the, you know, they obviously get a lot more treatment as a result of it than the new average Joe. So
you didn't have somebody with an umbrella handing up, holding it?
I did, but then, you know, the kid wasn't holding it at the right angle, so I just told him to bugger off, really.
Just throw your towel at him as well.
Of course.
So quick roundup. You know, it was Wimbledon a couple of weeks back. I do want to start by having a little word about the BBC commentary. Andrew Castle and Boris Becker for a final at Wimbledon is simply unacceptable, in my view.
Good Lord. I mean, due to personal reasons, which aren't that personal, I neglected to watch the final just because I couldn't stomach seeing him lift a trophy again.
Yeah.
But
he shall not be named, apparently.
Yes, but I am not at all surprised that BBC rolled out those two morons.
It's always a disaster because McEnroe goes to, I think he goes to ESPN, doesn't he?
Yes, so yeah, it does.
There was a bit of light relief in Tim Henman, but there were various moments where Andrew Castle-isms were coming out in their droves. He kept on going on about how attractive Berrettini was. You know, I'm not supposed to say this, but I was like, shut up. Just shut up. What I did quite like about it, though, was John Lloyd, who I think was probably relegated. He only does Queens because he was relegated to the boys' singles.
Wow.
As far as I could make out, that's the only time I heard him. It would be him and John Inverdale together as a double team just watching the boys' single. It's where they should be.
That's a real slap in the face.
Yeah. So I think we've got to get to the terrible moment. So Novak, supreme, expected him to go out and win the tournament, and he did. Had some great matches, played very well against Shapovalov in the semis, I believe. Yeah, took him out in straight sets, and then Berrettini in the final. Who's come a long way since we saw him, Joe, a couple of years ago.
He has, but the ongoing story is, I mean, Berrettini's 25 years old. Like, he's not 19. You know, like these, whatever you want to call them, next gen, current gen, whatever, they will just never be able to beat the big three when it counts in a major final. They'll sneak a couple of ATP 1000s here and there, some lesser tournaments, but they don't know how to win big tournaments. And until Djokovic, Nadal, Federer retire, that's never going to change.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I mean, they're different animals, aren't they? Djokovic has come out and said himself that I don't think he really takes many of those warm-up tournaments. I mean, he lost to Dan Evans.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, you know, as much as I love Dan Evans, that's not a match you should be losing. But,
no.
You know, I think he just, you know, so those, I think that kind of speaks to your point, really, that a lot of those tournaments are kind of immaterial, really. It's not when you see the best players at their best. It's in the slams, and they're consistently still, you
know, for sure,
incredibly well.
And obviously that's now number 20, so that's 20 apiece for.
Do you want to chat about the message from Roger?
What, the congratulations?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like, he could have said absolutely nothing. And I'll be honest, if it was me, I would have said absolutely nothing.
No, he couldn't have said no. That wouldn't have been brand Roger. He wouldn't have got away with that. Especially, I think people were drawing comparisons to the. I think it was much more descriptive, his praise of Nadal when he reached 20.
Well, yeah, he likes Nadal more.
Yeah. So no, I think that definitely came across, didn't it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're a dick to people, like, yeah, you know, take what you can get.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's all twenty apiece. Obviously, Novak is the heavy favorite to add more and more, fully taking advantage of Federer's age. Nadal, I think we might be seeing kind of the end of Nadal possibly as well. It's hard to say, but that.
I think Nadal's the only one that can stop him. I mean, if we bear in mind that, you know, what was it, October last year, where Nadal destroyed Djokovic.
That's true.
So it's not that long ago. I think Nadal. I don't think Fed's going to get more than 20.
No.
But I think Nadal is the only one who could stop him. But I don't think anybody will stop him. I think he'll easily pass 25.
25, yeah.
Yeah, I would. I mean, it's not beyond the realm. I mean, he's going to be favourite for the US, isn't he?
Oh yeah,
he'll be favourite for Australia again. Nadal, if fit, Nadal will be favourite, but he's going to be looking very competitive there. And he's got. I mean, I just forgot how good his record at Wimbledon is. Has he won six? Is it six times now he's won?
Or? I think it's six. Yeah.
I mean, that's crazy. I mean, yeah, but so you'd expect him to notch up and make hay while the sun shines, really.
Yeah, for sure. I think the, like we spoke about, the other players just aren't going to stop him. So, he's going to run rampant until he does one of those splits and, you know, gets stuck
Never
in that position.
Yeah. Well, it was, yeah. Congratulations, Novak. We say begrudgingly. Ash Barty took out Pliskova in the women's side. I love Barty's game. I think she's got such a nice grass court game. Mixes up so well. Slice backhand.
Do you really, forehand. Think so?
Yeah. I think so.
I find her. I thought that the two winners this year on both the men's and the women's side, I couldn't muster any sort of enthusiasm for either.
Yeah, no, I like her game. She does actually, this is a bit of a grand statement. She's not as fluid as Federer, but she's got a class about her game. It's very traditional. You know, it's, I think she, yeah, the, especially the way she plays that slice backhand, which keeps so low, feels like from another era, really. But I think I also quite like her. I think she seems like quite a good person. That probably hit my view quite a lot.
Yeah, I for some reason I've never warmed to her that much. I don't know why.
I think she's quite businesslike.
Yeah, maybe that's it.
I don't think she gives too much away in press conferences. I think she's just quite understated.
Yeah.
She's not she doesn't come out, she's not very controversial, she doesn't really have, I imagine she's incredibly boring to interview. She probably doesn't give that much away, but
know what I think what works against her is when I was in Australia in 2020 for the Australian Open, the Australian fans fandom of Barty I think put me off for life.
Yeah,
it was insane, the Barty army.
Don't call it a Barty party.
Barty party. Oh God.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's nothing to do with her. So I'm sorry, Ashby. I'll try to learn to love you.
Yeah. She's Pliskova looked dreadful that first set. I think she'd been broken something crazy, like she'd been broken twice in the once in the tournament, and then she was broken three times in that first set.
Yeah, that was really one way traffic.
Yeah. She played better in the second, managed to get it back and took it to a third. But so both number ones won, which was the first time that both the first seeds have won since 2015, which actually isn't that long ago.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to guess Djokovic and Serena.
Correct. Yeah. Well done, mate.
It wasn't that difficult.
I wouldn't have got it. We'll find out with Stump Henry a little bit later on. Were you any highlights for you, Joe? Obviously, you went quite a few times. Any big highlights of the 2 weeks?
I mean, I got I kind of got a selfie with Federer.
Yeah, that was an amazing photo.
So that was a highlight. I think the match with Richard Gasquet was a highlight for me as well, because he just looked like, you know, classic Federer in that match.
Yeah.
And you know what, as tough as the moment was, there was something quite emotional being at that obviously dreadful match against Hurkacz. Where 5-love down in the third set and getting ready to serve, and the entire crowd stood up and applauded. Never seen anything like that, really. And it just, yeah, it was a tough moment, but it was like nice to be there, because in reality, who knows if that's the last Wimbledon appearance.
Yeah. Is that the worst he's ever played that you've seen live?
Yes. By a considerable margin.
Yeah. It was quite a sad ending. I think Wimbledon, you sent quite a tearjerker. They did like a video, didn't they? A montage of Federer. Was it Federer talking about Wimbledon? And, you know, yeah. It was reminiscent of, do you remember the Andy Murray Australian Open video that they put together when they prematurely decided he was
done.
He should go on the scrap heap. But yeah, it felt a bit like that, but
yep.
You know, I suppose they're just taking advantage of the Federer fandom, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens. But I think we spoke about it directly after. If I had to put chances on him appearing next year, genuinely at the moment, I'd say 40%. And what would you say to that?
I think that's... Yeah, that probably seems about right. I'm just trying to work out if he is fit and he's fit enough to do another season, where would he want to go out? And I think he might want to just do one more Wimbledon.
One more Wimbledon. Yeah, it's certainly possible. I think it all depends on health. I think if he feels the knee isn't gonna, like, he's not gonna win any tournaments with that knee, then I think he'll probably won't bother.
Did they get a diagnosis? What's actually wrong with the knee?
No, just a very vague setback, but hopes to return later in the summer.
Yeah.
I think you speculated that there probably was like a minor niggle to do with it, but it was more of a excuse needed to pull out the Olympics.
Yeah, that's what I would think. And I don't doubt that Federer's injured. I think he probably is, but I think most tennis players are kind of injured quite a lot of the time. And I think this Olympics, I mean, we'll chat about it a little bit later, is not going to be that interesting, especially not great for, you know, hearing about no crowds.
Yeah.
The Olympic Village, I think, is supposed to be pretty dull.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure what's happening with that, actually. But and he'd have to be away from his family. I think there's lots of, I think it's perfectly reasonable and understandable reasons as to why he would choose to skip it. So,
yes.
But, I think my personal feeling is that it's probably not that serious. As I said, I'm not on his medical team. So I don't know if that's something I've said before, but I don't know, but that would be my guess. But I think that's kind of more in hope, because you hope he's back for the US hard court swing, really.
Yeah, I don't see him playing. I think the next big one is Canada. He's skipped that for a number of years, so I don't see him playing that. But yeah, if
he still did really well. You know, in terms of, did incredibly well to get as far as he did with very minimal play. I don't think he's in any fit state to be able to compete at these tournaments. I don't think I ever thought he would be able to. That's one of those things that somebody will tell me, well, actually, in a previous podcast, you touted him to win it. But I don't think that he had the capacity to win it. So what's the point of playing the warm-up tournaments?
Yeah,
because you might as well just have a few warm-up matches. You could have a few kind of exhibition, and then just turn up to these events, because he could just do that and then just go, right, this is going to be my last time. I'll see how I go. My body's probably not up to it anymore. You know, nice to say goodbye, maybe on the 2022 Roger Federer exit circus or whatever. But I mean, I think it makes sense to me.
I you made a really good point there. I think we spoke on a podcast pre-Wimbledon where you asked me what I'd be happy with, and I said I'd be thrilled, I think, with a quarterfinal appearance.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what happened. If he goes out to Hurkacz in a 5-set battle, the narrative is entirely different.
Yeah.
It's just the way it ended, it kind of overshadowed the, Jesus, didn't he do well to get to the quarters in the first place?
Yeah, true.
Which is a bit of a shame, I think.
Yeah, it is a bit of a shame, because it's a good tournament, you know. Yeah. And if you think, you know, it felt very reminiscent of Murray going out against Shapovalov. I felt, you know,
yes,
a sense that they just physically didn't have it at all, and no. There was no chance they were coming back. Everybody knew it quite early on, but people were praising. You know, Murray only made it past the second round.
Yeah,
you know, so Federer getting into the quarters, just, and as you say, just. So that match against Gasquet just reminding you what it's all about. And I think that was one of my highlights of Wimbledon, really, was, you know, these kind of old players rolling back the years, and just gave you, Murray with a couple of his matches against Basilashvili and his second match against Oscar Otte, and then Federer's match against Gasquet. You know, they just reminded, it was very kind of warm and comforting of like an era that I think we're coming to the end of.
For sure.
I think
both Federer and Murray, like, I was thinking about this the other day, anyone like ranked 20 or higher, they seem to be able to defeat with relative ease, depending on health. I think it's that top 20 group at the moment which is a bit of a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like there's a huge gap in a huge golfing class between obviously Djokovic and the rest, but there's also a big gap between players like Shapovalov, Berrettini, Felix, and your Cam Norries of the world, your Dan Evans of the world, you know? Mm. So I think we're seeing a sort of, for the longest time, it was Federer, Djokovic, Nadal, and then everyone else. They were all kind of interchangeable. But I don't know. I think we're seeing, really clear divisions at the moment in terms of the rankings on the men's side.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I think there's some... Although looking at 18, 19, 20, 21 as the rankings, 18, you've got Gael Monfils, Christian Garin at 19, David Goffin at 20,
okay,
Grigor Dimitrov at 21.
Okay, so maybe not quite, maybe I'm top 15 then.
Yeah, no, I think you're right there, because you're moving into kind of, I think even, you know, kind of Batista Agut is 16.
Yep.
And then you got Ojo Aliassime, Casper Ruud, who's done really well, Schwartzman, who's an animal. I can't believe Karenia Busta's 11.
No,
but then you've got, yeah, those, I think, especially those top 10 players as well, you're seeing consistent performers.
Yeah.
But I was kind of expecting it, you know, Hurkacz took out Medvedev in the previous round, didn't he?
Yeah, and that, I think it was that five set.
Yeah, that was in the five set, wasn't it? That came back the next day. So I don't know. I think Medvedev would have done the same, really. I just wonder how much he felt he had left in the tank when he started that match. It probably wasn't that much, and you need to start well, because I imagine it's, you know, if you don't, you're in big trouble, because that mental hurdle is so large.
For sure. Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Well, fingers crossed, mate. I'm positive, but let's crack on to, I think it's got to be the highlight of the year, isn't it, the Olympics?
Oh yeah, totally. I can't wait to see wait, who's competing again?
Oh gosh, you're obviously going for the Golden Slam, which is something I've never really come across. Got Novak going for that. That's not a thing, is it?
You know what? If we were going to have a podcast right after Wimbledon, I was going to tell, because in his usual style, he cast serious doubt on his participation in the Olympics this year.
Yeah.
I said to you, I was going to say to you, I bet you any money in the world he ends up going. And if he doesn't, I will come on this podcast and apologize to him and say, I've got your character completely wrong.
Yeah, I'm sure that will mean a lot to him after you've slammed him week after week.
I'm sure it would. But lo and behold, oh yeah, no, it'd be, I thought about it, and I love Serbia so much and I want to rep. Bullshit, you don't give a damn about Serbia. You just want all the accolades. The only thing he cares about is records. If there's any opportunity to get something that someone else doesn't have, he will jump at the chance. I'm not even sure he enjoys tennis at this point.
No, that's a strong statement. I think he's I don't think he's going to win it.
You think?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to win it. I think that he's gone through a very, very good period, a very, very emotionally draining period of the French and Wimbledon within quite a short space of time. And now with the Olympics starts on Saturday, isn't it? So it's quite a quick turnaround. Best of three sets, I think they're vulnerable, all those top guys.
I agree.
I think it's one of those, it's not, you know, this kind of goes back to our conversation about the next gen. I could just see somebody like a Zverev or a Tsitsipas winning this.
You might be right, you know, and the Olympics is one of those, it's kind of an odd, it's always been an odd tournament. I dread to even call it a tournament, but you do have some strange results just because you're not on tour, you know, you're not in familiar surroundings where you've been to that particular tournament a billion times before.
No.
It's all sort of very odd and new, and you're probably right. I mean, I hope you're right. I hope someone else wins it, but
I think somebody will take him out. I'm not happy with the Golden Slam as a thing. Personally, I think, similar to other sports, you're hearing like loads of golfers have just pulled out of the Olympics, zero interest in playing it. It's kind of the same with the tennis, where, you know, you've got Roger out, Rafa's withdrawn, Big Dan Evans and Joanna Konta, two of our brave soldiers, they've also gone. What I really liked was Angelique Kerber, who basically went, she said it's one of the biggest privileges, but I'll just paraphrase her statement, which was, it's one of the biggest privileges of my life, but ultimately I'm pretty tired, so I can't really be bothered. That was literally, she was like, I've never been prouder representing my country, but my body is physically tired and I need to get ready for the US hard court season.
Yeah, because
which to me says, don't get me wrong, I understand it, because I just don't think it's that important. I sometimes forget that Murray won a second one.
Yeah, I always actually forget when they say he's a two-time champion.
Yeah.
I was like, what? And he's also the defending champion. It's like, geez.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you. If I was a tennis player and there was any sort of injury or tiredness and playing in the Olympics might hamper my ability to compete for something like the US Open. I'm not going.
Yeah. I think this is going to really derail Novak.
Fingers crossed, mate.
I think he's going to overextend himself. He's going to lose in Japan. And I think that's going to crush his air of invincibility, and he's not going to win the US either. That's my prediction. He's not winning either the US or the Olympics.
I love that prediction. Love that prediction.
I've been wrong before. Remember my first round tips for Wimbledon. I've definitely been wrong in my predictions, but yeah, Osaka coming back as well. So I think that's good to see. There's a 3-part documentary on Netflix about her. I don't know if you've seen that's just come out.
I haven't watched it, but I've heard of it.
Yeah, I might check that out. But yeah, good to see her back. Imagine she'll get unbelievable support out there.
Oh yeah, for sure. Her and Nishikori, it's a real shame for the two of them, especially that there's no fans.
Yeah, no, that is a real shame. I think, I mean, the Olympics in general, you just feel so sorry for people competing, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, you know, you've worked all this amount of time, and yet you're going to be playing in front of, or doing all your stuff in front of empty stadiums. But yeah, it could be good to see her back anyway. Maybe that would be good for her if she's been struggling with pressure and all that kind of stuff, just to be out there monotonously hitting balls.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'll be lying if I said I was going to pay close attention to the Olympics, but you never know.
I'll let you know if Novak's in trouble.
Oh, thanks, mate. Yeah,
you can enjoy it, but I think I'll be watching bits and pieces, but not glued to it.
No, I will take great pleasure in him struggling. Something else I take great pleasure in is Stump Henry.
Here we go.
I was going to say something else I take great pleasure in is you struggling as well, but
yeah, that's true.
I thought that was too mean. This one is a bit of a lighter one this week, because you're never going to really know the answers to these. You'll
it's
understand.
Not on the roads, like guess numbers or
what did you say?
You know, like how many matches to the closest 100 is?
No. Yeah, nothing quite like that. I've come across a few of the videos that the ATP have put out over the past couple years.
Oh, yeah.
Usually, obviously, very stupid, nonsensical. So I thought I would ask you a couple of questions that some of the players were asked.
Okay.
We'll have discussions about what your answer is to these questions as well. But basically, I want you to figure out who were some of the answers to these questions that these players mentioned. So the players that were interviewed were Medvedev, Shapovalov, Khachanov, Riley Opelka, and Bublik.
Right, wow. Bublik. So, who else? Khachanov.
Bublik, Khachanov, Medvedev, Shapovalov, Opelka.
Okay.
They were asked a bunch of just different questions. I'll pick out a couple here. So those guys were asked, who on the tour tells the funniest jokes? Do you have any idea who might have been mentioned as the funniest joke teller?
I'm going to guess Gael Monfils.
Gael Monfils was mentioned by, I can't remember who, but yes, Gael Monfils was one answer. There's one other answer, and then someone else who was mentioned twice.
Okay. I'm going to guess at Diego Schwartzman.
No.
What about Fabio Fognini?
No, but that's a good guess.
Oof.
I will say the one.
It's not Cam Norrie, is it?
It's not Cam Norrie. The one who was mentioned twice, I would have never guessed was good at joke telling. Although, actually,
yeah. Hubert Hurkacz.
It's not Hubert Hurkacz, no. Do you want me to tell you?
Is it Daniel Medvedev?
No.
Okay, who is it?
So one answer was Roger Federer, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I suppose he's a bit goofy, isn't he?
He is a bit goofy. And the other one who was mentioned twice was your friend and favourite, Francis Tiafoe.
Oh, really? Yeah. I can believe that.
I actually think your shout of Medvedev is pretty good because he seems like a really funny guy.
Yeah, I think Medvedev is quite funny. I think he's probably a bit too clever for most of the tennis players.
Probably.
I think maybe he's got jokes they don't quite understand.
Yeah, agreed with that. Another one, funniest nickname.
In terms of, is that a nickname that they're actually referred to by tennis fans?
Yes.
I've got no idea. What about Alex de Menor?
No. One of the, I think Medvedev answered, instead of funniest, he picked what he thought was like the coolest.
Ah, okay.
If that helps.
Stan Wawrinka.
Yeah, that was his one. He said Stanimal and Stan the Man. He just thought both of those were really cool.
Yeah. Isn't Alex de Menor called Roadrunner? Or am I?
Is he?
I thought that was his nickname.
I haven't heard him called that, but you might be right. He is very fast.
I don't really know that many nicknames. Nole, which is always not very good.
So he was mentioned, but for Joker instead of...
Oh, okay. Fine. It's Brad Gilbert's nicknames for quite a lot of these players, which I always love.
Yep. The other one was actually a nickname I mentioned a few weeks ago, which I didn't know it was his actual nickname, but Big Foe.
Really?
Yes. TFO getting numerous mentions in this quiz.
Yeah. I've got to name some of Brad Gilbert. So just got
hit me
some of his nicknames up there. Do you, and you might know these. Sorry, I've kind of turned it on its head. If that's all right,
that's quite all right.
Do you know? So one of them, Borna Coric. What do you think his nickname is for Borna?
I mean, I had no idea he would even have a nickname. I've got no idea.
He's gone for Borna Identity Coric.
Oh, that's horrible.
Garbiñe Muguruza.
Is this Muguruthless?
It is Muguruza. It's very good. Yep. Simona Halep.
No idea.
Jalapeno.
Oh, God.
What other ones are there? Sloane. Oh, God. Bernard Tomic.
Again, no idea.
Jinan Tomic. Jill Muller, which is a bit of a blast from the past. I'll get to a couple more.
Like Muller time or something like that?
No, Ferris Muller.
Oh my, these are awful.
And Jeremy Chardy is the final one.
Chardonnay?
It is Chardonnay, very good. You've actually done very well there, too.
I mean, it's really difficult to make sense of the nonsensical.
You've gotten Brad Gilbert's mind.
Oh God, that was atrocious. That shook me, that has. I'll just finish up with a two-part question, which might be fun for you to answer as well. Which player would you like to be stuck on a desert island with? And the answers to this, again, I would never, ever guess. So good luck with that.
Okay. John Millman.
John Milman? No, but good guess.
What about... Did they say Roger Federer?
They did not.
Okay. I'll have one more guess. All right. Reckon Alex de Minaur.
No. So
it's been quite Alex de Minaur heavy this.
It has. He's not an answer to anything.
Yeah.
I think Khachanov said Andrei Rublev and Medvedev, you know, the Russian contingent. He thought that would be quite fun.
Oh, you can take two, can you?
Well, he took it upon himself to take two. Shapovalov said David Goffin because he would be quite quiet. Oh, and he'd think that would be peaceful. And then Opelka and Bublik said Tommy Paul.
Tommy Paul? Why?
Oh, apparently that set off my Google Home. But yeah, I barely even know who Tommy Paul is.
That's amazing. That's so random.
Really random.
Did they give a reason for it?
I think they both said he was quite funny, but he wasn't an answer in the funniest jokes section.
Yeah. I mean, what would be the criteria? But I think you'd want somebody quite practical.
Yeah.
So I've got a feeling somebody like Nadal would be quite good to be on a desert island with.
I agree with that, actually. That's a good shout.
I think you need competitors. I'm not a practical person, so I'd need somebody with complementary skills.
See, you're thinking practical. I'm thinking of fun.
Oh, okay. So you're moving into the Tommy Paul territory, aren't you?
Well, he wouldn't be my first choice.
Or you'd pick somebody tall, because I'm quite small. Maybe Riley Opelka.
Riley Opelka, yeah, quite like that. For me, I'd probably go with someone like Monfils. I reckon that would be a hell of a laugh.
Yeah, it might get on your nerves a little bit. All the trick shots that you'd be doing on a daily basis.
That's true.
You've seen one, you've seen them all. I want somebody who's going to give me various parts of their tennis repertoire over a longer period of time.
Yeah, you might be right on that. The final part is they also were also asked who wouldn't you want to be stuck on a desert island with.
Ooh, gosh.
Again, I don't think you're going to get any of these.
Novak Djokovic.
I mean, that would be my answer, but it wasn't any of theirs.
Were they quite cruel, the answers, or were they quite funny?
No, they were pretty funny. So, again, can't remember who said it, but someone didn't want Francis Tiafoe because he would talk too much.
Okay, not bad.
Someone didn't want Rublev because he'd practice nonstop and tire them out.
Oh, God.
Someone didn't want Taylor Fritz because he'd find a way to play PlayStation all day.
Some of these answers.
And Khachanov, the most serious answer, said he wouldn't want to be stuck on a desert island with Fabio Fognini because he'd think he'd kill him.
Excellent. Well, that's actually, at least that's an honest answer.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'd be worried about Fognini, I think. Oh, that's quite good content.
Yeah, I thought that it was more enjoyable than their usual fare.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think we've got to move on to a player who is much loved by both you and I.
He's got those reflexes like a mongoose on amphetamines.
I've got great news, Joe.
Do you actually?
I have really good news. For weeks, we've been waiting for Gunners, Prajnesh Gunaswaran, to do his thing. He's come through the clay court swing. He's now onto the US hard courts. He's competing at the Atlantic Tire Championships in North Carolina.
Yep.
And he took out, just hold it, Tyson Kwiatkowski, the American, 6-3. In the first set, and he was a breakup in the second set. Tyson could not handle Prajnesh. He could not handle him, and he had to withdraw.
He had to withdraw.
He'd been punished enough. This is the first round. Now he's into the next. It's another American who it'll face. Not sure you've heard of him. It's either Sam Rufus or Sam Rufishi. I don't know whether he's an American, he's Italian American descent potentially, but it's either Sam Ruffus or Sam Rafici, and it's on today. I don't think you can find anybody streaming it, but boy, will I be watching that result.
I mean, it sounds like he has the potential to break American hearts this week by the sound of it. He's already taken one out. Let's go again.
I think it could be Prajnesh and then about 1,000 Americans. They'll have to take out a whole nation. But I did see Jack Sock playing there. So it's not all people far down the ranks with Atlantic Tire Championships.
Atlantic Tire Championships.
I absolutely love it. I love that he's there. I love that he's back up winning. And hopefully he can take out Sam Rafici today.
Well, I mean, we joke, but that's probably his first win in I don't know how many months.
I don't think since we've covered him, he's won more than one.
Jeez.
Yeah, he's had a bad run, but I told you he's back. Took out Tyson, Kwiatkowski, who must be amazing name. But
how are you spelling Kwiatkowski?
So it's Kwiat, Kwiat.
Oh yeah,
Kowski, Kwiatkowski.
Interesting. His photo isn't even coming up on Google.
Yeah.
There is a Facebook page called Twyson Kwiatkowski Gypsy Power. Not sure what that's about, but
you know, okay. Yeah, we're Prajnesh fans. I don't think we can. I'm not sure we can criticize others for niche interests.
That's fair. That's fair.
Looking forward to seeing how he does in the next couple of rounds. But thanks very much for joining us on This Cannot Be Serious. We'll be back again next week to talk about some of the Olympics and other matters in the world of tennis. Hopefully Joel will have more videos from the ATP and random questions. But in the meantime, it's a goodbye from me and it's a goodbye from Joe.
Thank you all, guys, because your energy tonight... because of you.